It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and thank you and welcome to another edition of Lightning Thursday, Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, great to have you back for Lightning Radio this morning.
Great to be back, Mark, with Lightning Radio, and we're ready to go.
Yes, sir. Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio this morning. Let's start with one of your front page stories here, Bill, and that is about the Hendersonville High School old gym and the granite from the gym. Tell us about that.
It is, yeah, kind of a fun story. You know, we like to have fun with history, and we like to. In the history, and people give us history stories. Shout out to Paul Hansen and the Laurel Park folks, town council, Mayor Kerry O'Kane, for doing this and directing us to the fact that they had the idea that we're pretty sure the granite that built the old historic gym there on the Hendersonville High School campus came from our town on the mountain. Laurel Park, back in the 1930s, Depression era, when the city of Hendersonville applied for a grant to build it. And sure enough, they're able to prove that it did come from a quarry there, which was owned and operated by W.A. Smith. People familiar with local history will know is really the founding spirit and founder of just about all things back in the day of Laurel Park, the early resort and development with everything from the lakes that people enjoyed up until more recent times, of recreational lakes, the pavilion, the canals, and the gondolas that would travel on the canals between the lakes. All of this was a creation of W.A. Smith, and then including this quarry, which we also believe probably supplied the stone for St. James Episcopal Church. So we got fun pictures that show the quarry itself, which you can easily see many, many parts of, and you can see that there's been man-made digging out of the quarry for years and years. It operated probably till sometime around the start of World War II. And then you see a picture from a while back that we made, a file photo of the historic gym before they started any work out there. And then there are piles. the piles of granite, excuse me, are staged at Jackson Park, and those are the three pictures on the front page. And on the back page, we have another picture of the old gym intact with work started. There's excavation all around it. And then we have the gym basically with a big piece of construction equipment and basically almost torn down in a pile of rubble. And then we have one last picture that shows the newer gym, which is a 1970s era Jim Pardue gym. And that is, and the old gym is all gone. It's removed. That is one of the few, as we talked about this a few weeks ago, one of the few, excuse me, coronavirus silver linings has been the fact that with no children in these schools, they've been able to really accelerate projects, including two big HVAC replacement projects at Rugby and Flat Rock Middle Schools, and probably most of all, the Hendersonville High School project. So that gets back, though, Mark, to what Laurel Park wanted to do was retrieve some pieces of these, some of this rock. And the school system said, and the county commissioner said, fine, there's plenty of it. We don't know how we're going to use it. And however we use it, we won't use it all. Some of it will be, I think you'll see some of it in some of the signage of the new school. There'll be a kind of a historic look back there, a historic recognition of some of this granite. But certainly they, I don't know of anybody that has any plans to use even a whole pile of it. And there's, I don't know, something like 25 piles of it out there in Jackson Park.
Wow.
So Laurel Park has already gone out there. Andrew Griffin, the Laurel Park Public Works Administrator rode out there with his crew and got a couple dump truck loads of the granite, and they're stored somewhere now in the Laurel Park Public Works operations, ready to be put up. They've got Chris Burns of Summit Marketing and Hunter Marks of Watermark Landscape Architecture working on plans to make a memorial for Mr. Smith and kind of a nice landscaped area that will recognize the historic quarry and its connection to many of the buildings in and around Western North Carolina.
And speaking of the history of that, I love the part of the story here where you talk about the very first public event that happened in that granite gem. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have some research on that. We reported part of a while back. Shout out to Patrick Gallagher, I think a 1965 graduate of Hendersonville High School and kind of a local historian who's back in town. Welcome back, Patrick, from a career as a CPA, I think it was, in the Detroit area. And he did, I still haven't managed to see this. I think it was a brochure or some kind of pretty lengthy write-up about the gem, you know, when it was clear that they would be removing it. And the city applied in 1935 for a grant of $27,609 that would total 771 man months. That's how the Works Progress Administration application wanted them to describe the work. So it'd be 771 man months of work for stonemasons, plumbers, electricians, steam fitters, painters, roofers, and nurserymen to do the school. So when and they got the grant and they built the gym, and it opened in June 1937, not with a basketball game or a volleyball game or any kind of sports, but a music performance by a big band led by Bob Crosby, brother of a fellow named Bing.
How about that? Very interesting. I love those history tidbits.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this granite from the historic gym, ultimately.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what if somebody makes, you know, some kind of big use of it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know. We'll have to bird dog that as far as does the county plan to put it up for sale or, you know, use it. Some of it's been cut down. I mean, we've seen granite before that's been cut down and repurposed. That if you go out to Lake Rhododendron Park in Laurel Park, there is old City of Hendersonville granite curb that they've repurposed for some walkways out there. So it's interesting to see, which also may well have come, probably did come from the W.A. Smith Quarry being right nearby. That was some granite they took up when they did one of the road repavings. I think it was either 4th or 5th Avenue. It's durable. It can be repurposed. If some stonemasons can cut it up and reuse it.
So we had big news came out this week, Bill, regarding the Apple Festival, and of course you've got that right here on the a tease of the on the front page of that this morning.
Yeah, this was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was big news, but as news goes, not that surprising. As our tagline says, the Apple Festival crowd, and we ended up having a great file photo of a big crowd right on Main Street. I mean, practically cheek to cheek. And the cut line under it is too close for COVID. So the Apple Festival, as a street fair, as closed downtown, as have vendors, have the Apple stands, have the music, have the entertainment, have the kiddie rides the alligator tail or whatever in the carnival food, that's all gone. That's not going to happen in 2020, sadly. The adjusted plan in the coronavirus climate is to have lots of promotions of the Apple stands. Many of the families, and I think it's up to as many as 20 or so that have Apple stands, and for years and years also have roadside stands or U-Pick orchards, so they can be promoted in that way.
the apple farmers are already figuring out ways to adjust and have more direct marketing outreach for that period. So look for that. We'll have more coverage of that, I'm sure, as we get into apple season. We're still a few weeks away from picking the early apples. So look for lots of promotions in the Hendersonville Lightning and elsewhere for this year's apple crop, because you're not going to be able to buy it on Main Street on Labor Day weekend.
And
as far as I know.
One
other thing that is in the works for, I'm not sure if this is to that weekend or maybe a few weekends, they're looking for ways to let some of the apple stands come to the new, very, very good city event, the new Saturday morning farmers market there on in the historic 7th Avenue district on Maple Avenue. So look for that to happen as well as we get into apple season.
Yeah, and maybe some lemonade can be made out of these lemons, much like the Garden Jubilee weekend was a huge success for so many of our nurseries and garden centers around here. The big Garden Jubilee weekend tour is what it was. So maybe this can turn into maybe there could be a real positive side of this.
Some of those nurseries, Mark, on Memorial Day weekend, I think you're aware, you had some of them that were advertising partners with WTZQ. We had some that were advertising partners with Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. They were slammed and they sold out of plants.
Yeah.
And that was hundreds of plants, of course, and hanging baskets. So you're exactly right. I think there'll be a spirit of people in the community wanting to go out to these orchards or the apple stands or roadside stands at least and buy a bunch of apples and apple turnovers and apple pies at that time.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with more Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. We've been talking about the Apple Festival. We'll talk about open streets. There's going to be another one of those coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that and more and the asphalt plant. Coming up on Lightning Radio with Bill Moss.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years, the official sponsor of patio season. CaysonCompaniesInc.com.
For Father's Day, Sunday, June 21st, visit Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village. Select a wrinkle-free sports shirt in long or short sleeve models. Our private label shirts are available in classic checks, plaids, and solids. We also offer shirts from Gitman Brothers, Peter Millar, and Bugatti. Dad will love a Helly Hansen lightweight windbreaker. These jackets are waterproof for summer showers. Stop by Joseph Lauder soon and let us gift wrap your selections for Father's Day, Sunday, June 21st. Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village.
Hey, this is Marty Sullivan with Beverly Hanks Realtors. Join me on Saturday mornings at 8:30 for the Blue Ridge Real Estate Report. I'll have buyer and seller tips, mortgage market updates, special guests, and featured listings. The Blue Ridge Real Estate Report is sponsored by the best in real estate. Paula Wagner at Beverly Hanks Mortgage, Skip Sawyers State Farm Insurance, and attorney Michael Thompson at the Van Winkle Law Firm. That is the Blue Ridge Real Estate Report on Saturday mornings at 8:30. I'll see you then.
Branding is one of the single most important aspects of your business, and it's not just about a logo and a tagline. You need a brand that raises awareness while staying true to your values and goals. A brand that grabs the attention of customers and makes them want to choose you over your competitors. This is Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative. If your business or nonprofit needs to be more visible, recognizable, and memorable, visit lscreative.studio and click Let's Chat. I'm Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative, and you need me.
And we are back with Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, we were just talking about the Apple Festival and what may or may not take place for Apple Festival weekend. But one of the things that we had a test run, and we're going to do it again this coming weekend, open streets in downtown Hendersonville on Main Street.
Yep, that's exactly right. Open streets is back this weekend and three more weekends. For the closing, it's called Open Streets.
many people think of it as closed streets because the streets are closed except for, and this is a major asterisk that they like to tell, that the avenues are open. So that helps for curbside pickup of restaurant items. It helps for parking. It helps for generally access. It's not like the Apple Festival where everything is closed down. So avenues are open. Main Street closed. Dining tables can spread out. It didn't happen as much on the first weekend because I think that one kind of came up a little bit too quickly, and the rain forecast was a little bit sketchy the first weekend they did this. Look for, as we go on, maybe a more robust presence of merchandise, of the shops being out there with tables or shelving or some other way, or some way to display their wares for folks as we go on. And this now echoes back to the Apple Festival story because it just so happens that John Connett, the city manager of Hendersonville, is also this year's Apple Festival president. He's been deeply, deeply involved, of course, in all the discussions about the Apple Festival, not having the Apple Festival downtown with gigantic, you know, closed streets and all that commotion. I look for city council to begin to talk about what the city might do on Labor Day weekend. It's not an Apple Festival, but is maybe kind of festive and probably a version of Open Streets downtown, but maybe one with some more robust features to it. We don't know what those will be yet, but look for that as a topic of discussion in upcoming city council meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. And the city council has committed, I think, to at least two weekends a month, I think, through August for Open Streets.
There are three more after this, July 3 through 5, July 17, 18 and 19, and July 31, August 1st, August 2nd. So those are committed to at its meeting in July. The city council can actually say, this is going well. Let's add a mid-month one in August. And like we say, they'll certainly talk about Labor Day weekend. For sure.
Certainly. So we'll continue to hear more about that on in our lightning. Bill, let's go to a story that started out as a small little story, but it's really turned into something big. And that is that the proposed asphalt plant in East Flat Rock. Now we've got the Friends of East Flat Rock fighting that, and there's some new news just as of this week regarding that.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This is the biggest. It's the biggest disruptive land use change proposal since the Balfour Parkway and the Duke Power transmission lines of about 2-3 years ago, and about closer to 5 years ago for Duke Power. And that is a proposal by Southeastern Asphalt to build a asphalt plant on Spartanburg Highway at the really right off the ramp, right off the ramp of the US 25 connector there. It's not going that well so far for the applicant because there's a huge amount of opposition. At this point, more than 5,500 going on the way to probably 6,000 signatures on a petition. More than 2,700 members have joined the organization that's fighting the plant called Friends of East Flat Rock. The hearing that was supposed to take place tonight, the first hearing before the Henderson County Planning Board, has been called off and postponed all the way to August because the Planning Board is not having a meeting in July. Because on that same night, it just so happens the Henderson County Board of Commissioners is having that big public hearing at the West Henderson High School Auditorium about the Taproot Dairy property rezoning for around 600 or 700 homes, as I recall. It's in this story somewhere. So look for that. We've got even more coverage on HendersonvilleLightning.com about how they've hired a lawyer, and we have two or three other stories in the works about the asphalt plan. So look for that continued coverage. We've had a lot of readership on that, a lot of tips, a lot of reaction to that.
Yeah, we interviewed the founder of Friends of East Flat Rock yesterday talking about this, and Friends of East Flat Rock, they think this postponement is pretty much a win because they're really hoping that they can have physical people at the meeting rather than trying to connect on Zoom or something like that for that meeting. So they're hoping to be able to have a big crowd of people come out and share their thoughts on this asphalt plant.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's reflected in the story where we say that it's not for sure, it's not known that they will have an in-person meeting, but it logically seems as if, unless we don't know, COVID is such a moving target,
yeah.
But if the Board of Commissioners, basically their boss, has one a month earlier, then what's stopping the Planning Board from having an in-person public hearing I think it's August 20. So we shall see, and again, as soon as that's known, we'll have coverage of it.
Let's keep talking about asphalt, Bill. You got a story here about incident bypass detour signs. Talk to us about that on I-26.
Yeah, these really popped up and proliferated. they're everywhere now. Nice looking news. It's the familiar I-26 sign with the shield kind of shaped insignia. But then above those is a black on yellow sign. In big letters, it says incident bypass. So we wondered what in the world all this is about. And we assigned our intern, Andrew Dundas, a rising senior at the University of North Carolina and resident right now in the summertime with his folks in Fairview over in Buncombe. We assigned Andrew to find out. So we found out that it's just part of an overall traffic management plan. They don't connect it directly to the widening of the interstate highway, but it's known that there could be times when traffic will be down to one lane, and then if you have a crash or jackknife truck, tractor trailer, or some kind of incident, then people will be using Asheville Highway, Spartanburg Highway, and other and Four Seasons Boulevard and the connector as a as an incident bypass, as they say. So read about that on page 7.
Let's also talk a little bit before we finish Lightning Thursday today about Flat Rock Playhouse. Lisa K. Bryant was honored this week, correct?
Yeah, this was a big honor. I had seen a couple times over the years a few references to that, and I knew it's a very prestigious appointment for Lisa K. Bryant to become a William C. Friday Fellow. She's appointed to the 2020-2022, so this is a two-year course in all things North Carolina and human relations, sponsored by the William C. Friday, you know, the longtime beloved president of the University of North Carolina system, sponsored by the William C. Friday Fellowship for Human Relations. So look for her to join. It's a very exclusive club of around 30 people from across the state, various leadership positions across all kinds of all walks of life, and so she joins that will be a good thing for Lisa, and I'm sure it will accrue to the benefit of the community when she learns all of this leadership and how to help the community, help the playhouse, and help the community.
Fantastic. Yeah, that is really good news. Really good news. And, Bill, you got a number of stories that are not in the print edition, but you can find exclusively on HendersonvilleLightning.com. You want to talk about a couple of those?
Yeah, sadly, I hadn't heard too much about Bill Moore since he actually lost a re-election bid in 2017. He died on Tuesday at age 75, and a lot of people think if it were not for Bill Moore, there we wouldn't have the really nice park, community park in Fletcher, which a little while after he left City Hall, the town council renamed from Fletcher Community Park to Bill Moore Community Park. So people can go read that story on HendersonvilleLightning.com. Actually, he's going to be, I think he's lying in state today at Gross Funeral Home there at near Lake Julian.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, there's a service at Patty's Chapel, graveside service at Patty's Chapel Church that the public is invited to. So look for the times and details of that and a news op-ed, of course, about Bill Moore and his life and his contribution to especially the Fletcher community on HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Also on HendersonvilleLightning.com, the incredibly successful opening of White Duck Taco Restaurant on 7th Avenue.
Slammed, you might say. White Duck is swimming in all the business it can stand, and it's went out there, and I was actually been by there a couple times in the last couple days, made some pictures, and interviewed Aaron Adams, the owner, operator of the White Duck, and he says, Hendersonville is just killing us. And that's killing in a good way, because he says he worked 90 hours last week. If you are a cook, a server, a cleaner, or otherwise experienced restaurant, or maybe not even experienced restaurant worker, go out to the White Duck and apply for a job, because he needs more hands.
Wow, that's great news, and especially great news right now while you can only really operate at half capacity.
Well, exactly. The tables are, there's picnic tables outside that are spread very far apart.
Yep.
I think they were filled when I was out there making a picture day before yesterday. And then the inside tables were busy, too. It's one of those operations where you go up to the counter and you order, and they give you a number to stick on your table, and the server comes, brings you your food. So that's the way they save on wait staff somewhat by having that counter ordering. Lots of good, interesting tacos with all kinds of interesting, fun fillings, and no beer and wine, and even specialty cocktails yet, but those are on the way.
Fantastic. The White Duck Taco, now open on 7th Street and on 7th Avenue, and very successful. And that story, of course, is on the Lightning, in the Lightning, or on your website, HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, there's so much more in this week's Lightning. We've only covered some of it. How do people get their copy of the Hendersonville Lightning?
They can go all around town to the Lightning Orange racks. I apologize. We got shorted a little bit, Mark, on our press run this week, and we've had a lot of sellouts the last couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah.
Especially graduation section. But if you don't find one, sometimes Publix is a good bet. But if you can find one that's full, we do have racks all around the county. They're usually at every post office. They're at every Ingles. So that's a common place to get them. Or by just staying at home if you're still quarantined, and going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe and join the growing legions of Lightning fans that do get their Lightning anytime they want on the web, or today, Lightning Thursday, by U.S. mail, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.